Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Still going, John.
And we're going strong. We have Benjamin Pomerantz with us, and Benjamin is the Deputy Director of Program Development at the New York State Division of Veterans Affairs. And our first half has just been full of information. Honestly, Benjamin, it's tremendous having you here. It's an honor.
Well, it's great to be here, and thank you for having this whole program. The work that you do to help individuals age in place and remain independent is a fantastic mission. So thank you.
It really
you for
is.
What
thank you,
do.
And it's you know, everybody who comes on this radio, really. I mean, it's such a learning experience from me and for the co-host and
without a
Christina,
doubt.
Who is the one who puts it all together, just really mixes up the people so well, and the information is tremendous because you learn. I'm learning from you right now, stuff that I didn't even know. But and it's so nice because then you're at a cocktail party, you're at a dinner, you're at anything, you say, listen, you should call this number. What's the number? I don't remember it. Call 311. Ask about the program Benjamin was on. They'll get you the information. Which is amazing.
We don't remember a lot, but we remember that you were here.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Something came on while we were offline just now that I was curious about. I read about, call it a veteran's pension, and we talked about it a little bit offline, and I was wondering what that really means. Like, we talked, I used an example of there were seniors around who unfortunately try to live on a Social Security check of $800 or $1,500 or whatever a month, and that's all they have. That's not a lot of money in this day and age. So you mentioned something that I didn't even know existed either. So if you could bring that up,
certainly.
I'd appreciate it.
So a lot of times you hear the term veterans pension, and people might have a misconception thinking they're talking about a military pension. And think, I don't have enough time in service to qualify for a military pension, therefore I don't get the veterans pension. They're actually two completely separate programs. And so the idea of a veteran who's living on that fixed income, that veteran might qualify for a veterans pension from the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs. This is an income-based benefit for veterans who have limited income and limited assets. There's a small length of service requirement, and basically, we're talking about 90 days of active duty military service if you entered the military prior to September 7th, 1980. If you entered after September 7th, 1980, it's a little bit longer requirement, but again, it's not a tremendously long period of time. Second misconception that comes out, you have to have at least one day of military service on active duty during a wartime period to qualify for a VA pension. A lot of times veterans and their families hear that and they say, oh, I didn't serve in combat, therefore I don't qualify. That's not the case. When we say wartime service in this context, we're talking about military service anywhere in the world during a time when it was a wartime period, a war that Congress recognized as being a wartime period. So, for instance, we're talking about individuals who served during the Vietnam era, the Vietnam wartime era. We're not just talking about individuals who went and served boots on the ground in Vietnam. We're talking about anybody who served anywhere in the world, be it in Vietnam or Thailand or Germany or New York State or wherever.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Sure. Right. Name your place.
Go on,
your place during that period of service. If you have one day during a wartime period, you meet the wartime requirement for the pension. Now, the main two things that the VA looks at when it comes to the pension are income and assets. Every year, Congress sets a threshold of income. They say you have to be below this particular threshold to qualify for a VA pension. And the amount, as far as the threshold, varies depending on if you live alone, if you have dependents in your household, and so on. Also, they look at your assets. The basic rule of thumb there is if you have below $80,000 worth of assets, you meet the limited assets requirement as far as the VA. That's not a concrete rule, but it's a pretty good rule of thumb to go by. And something else that's worth thinking about, too, maybe your income's a little bit over what the threshold is. The VA also looks at unreimbursed medical expenses, money that you're paying out of pocket for medical care that's not being reimbursed back to you by an insurance company. If you have those unreimbursed medical bills, those unreimbursed medical expenses can be used to help spend down your income. And so if you pay enough out in medical expenses that are unreimbursed, that can actually drop you now below that income threshold. And this is the kind of work that our Veterans Benefits Advisors are doing every day for veterans and their families.
Just a quick question there. You said $80,000 in assets. Is a house considered an asset? Because a lot of people in our pocket here are in a home that they probably own.
Right.
So if you have a house here, you're going to be over $80,000.
If it's your primary residence, most of the time the VA is not going to include that in their, their basic calculation.
I think that's an important point because a lot of people are home heavy as far as assets go.
Right, exactly.
And they may not have any other assets besides the house.
You know, a lot of times the assets, they're looking at how much money do you have in a checking account, a savings account, stocks, bonds, other properties besides your primary residence, things like that.
Right, right. Okay.
Now, Otto brought up the idea of a house. There's a property tax exemption.
Yes, there is.
For that's also just for your primary house?
Right.
Okay.
Primary residence in New York State.
Yeah. Okay. And that's for any vet also, or how does that one work?
There's actually three different property tax exemptions. And Otto, you and I were talking about the Cold War exemption
that
exists.
I'm a Cold War veteran.
Very good. And I'm glad that exemption exists because the exemption that we had before the Cold War exemption was passed came back to that definition of wartime again for wartime veterans.
Right.
And under the different lengths of service or periods of service defined by Congress, the Cold War era was not part of that listing previously. And so New York State passed a separate tax exemption just for Cold War veterans to make certain that their service was not left out and neglected because, of course, the work that you and your fellow veterans performed
you
during that time.
You actually get a certificate now
says
Cold War
veteran. Cold War
veteran.
Certificate.
Really?
Yes.
And but prior to that, you were basically...
I was not considered a veteran in most cases. Which always annoyed me because I did commit myself for the 2 years.
The time and everything else, and anything could have gone
being on. Being in the military,
right.
19 to 21 years old, you know.
And where you were stationed wasn't exactly close to home.
You know, I was all over the place. You know, I was on an aircraft carrier. We were all over the Mediterranean. We were in the Suez when the Suez crisis was going on and outside of Haifa, Israel. Doing what I don't know because I was very low on the totem pole. You know, the admiral never talked to me about what was going on.
They didn't consult you for that.
Yeah, I was down.
You did what you were told.
I was fourth bunk down.
Okay. Well, thank you for your service and for all of the Cold War veterans for their service. So that exemption exists for them. Now, when you look at what's called the alternative property tax exemption, this is the most common one, one that's for all wartime veterans. There's an additional amount that you can get on that exemption if you did serve in a combat zone. So if you go down to your local tax assessor's office and you're a combat veteran and you're applying for your exemption, make sure you get that additional amount of money, not just your basic exemption, but also the additional amount for being a combat veteran as well. And in addition to that, if you have a service-connected disability rating, from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, a certain percentage rating talking about disabilities that were either incurred or exacerbated during your wartime service, or during your service at any point in time, make certain that when you get your tax exemption, you get an additional amount for that as well. So you get your baseline exemption, and then you have some additional increases if you are either a combat veteran or a veteran with a service-connected disability.
And by the way, I'm very happy that I'm not a combat veteran, and I have all very high regard for those who had to go through horror stories that I'm sure will be in their minds forever.
Certainly.
You know?
Just to go back to that for a second, Benjamin, so if somebody is looking into what they're entitled to, this goes back to calling one of the numbers you gave out earlier.
Definitely.
Okay. It's not they have to do it on their own.
And there's something else. If people are app users on their smartphones that you can do, which is brand new this year, New York State launched a brand new free download New York State Veterans app, which you can get on Android phones and also on your Apple iPhones.
Wow.
It's a free download. If you just go into the iPhone store or the Google Play store and type in New York State Veterans or NYS Veterans or anything like that, you can get to this app. And the app has a couple of very important features. Number one, it's free, like everything that we do. Number two, it contains information about all the programs we're talking about today and plenty of other programs that we don't have time to talk about today. And number three, the most important feature, I think, is there's a button on the app which says Near Me. And if you push that button that says Near Me, within seconds, you get a listing of all of the state and county Veterans Service Organization offices that are closest to your geographic position at that exact moment. So if you're standing on a street corner in Hempstead and you push that Near Me button, you get all of the most local listings to you. And so that gets back to the point we were talking about earlier, people are getting tired of calling the 800 numbers pushing buttons. This gives you a localized approach to what services are near you.
And one other point connected to that, I always like to encourage seniors to learn technology for reasons like this. It's not going away, you know, and you can always learn, no matter how old you are. You can learn how to use a computer. You can learn how to use a smartphone. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to do it, and don't be afraid of it. You can't break it. You know, you have a better chance of breaking a pencil point than you do a phone.
Sure. And a good story on that, to your point, when we launched this app, the governor issued a press release saying that the app existed and it was free and encouraging veterans and their families to download it. The very first phone call we received about the app was from a World War II veteran who lived out near Buffalo. And he wanted to know how he could download the app. And he made certain to tell me that he was downloading the app for himself and he was going to be using it himself.
Right.
And he said, I bet you think that because I won't give his age, but it was in the 90s.
Right.
I don't use a computer and a smartphone. Well, guess what? I do. So he was very proud of that fact, and he downloaded the app, and I know for a fact he's still using it because he gets in touch with us whenever he has questions.
That's good.
It's a whole nother world that you have to get into.
Certainly.
It's the truth. And the thing is, all the information is there. And not all of it, but 75% of it is easy to navigate. There are pieces, but, you know, the pieces that you get stuck, then you call directly.
Right.
You call, you know, you call the office at the 636, one of the 631 numbers, you call 311 for it, and they'll walk you through it. But that push button one, that's an amazing thing. And then you could walk into that office yourself on a Tuesday afternoon and say, help me.
At your fingertips. It's right there in front of you.
Now, before we get off, I do have to mention one thing.
Go ahead.
Wooden shoes. Benjamin wears wooden shoes. You can't see that on the radio. And I think that's very unique. And I have a personal connection to that, as I said, offline. Also, my grandfather in Germany many years ago made wooden shoes. That's what he did. Give us a two-second dump on wooden shoes.
Well, when I was 5 years old, my grandfather, who lived in Holland, got me a pair of wooden shoes, and he said, try these on. And I've been wearing various pairs of shoes ever since. Every year for a birthday gift, he would send me the next size up and the line of wooden shoes. And I've worn these all over the world. I've walked many miles in various pairs of wooden shoes, and they're extremely comfortable.
Do you play basketball?
I used to, but not of these. I wore sneakers for those, and I wear sneakers for running now. But aside from that, I wear the shoes pretty much everywhere.
Yeah,
that's amazing, and they're lovely looking too.
They look comfortable, but they really are very comfortable to wear, and they're very warm for the winters. Which I'm from Northern New York, up in Plattsburgh.
Oh, okay.
So up there, you need warm shoes in the wintertime, and these are good to have for that.
Terrific, Benjamin. Cool. We're out of time, but this really was tremendous. I thank you for what you do, and I thank you for all the information you shared this morning.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll be right back. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org.